As my only focus, I place value on things that are what heavenly. Say, I place value. Say, I place value on things heavenly. Come on, say, I place value on things heavenly. Place value. Okay. Today is, let's say, a little bed, a little rice, right? Good. So thanks to everybody that has been like sending questions, talking about what we have been studying. Please, when you have areas that is not clear, don't wait till I finish the series. Just inbox me. Okay? I mean, WhatsApp me, and we'll see how we include it. John chapter 3 of Salvation 24, verse 6. Star Grace, nice to have you. Ellie. Nice to have you, Ellie. That is a virtue. That would mean we start seeing you in our, do I call it, training. Glory to God. John 3 verse 6, that which is born of the what? Flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Verse 7, marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. The way I'm taking this series for now, at least until we reach maybe the end, part 40, I'm taking it in beats. Just an overview of salvation, stuff that you can easily recommend to any friend, and each any of the parts is enough to convince him of the reality of salvation. Are you with me? So today we'll just be looking at being born of the Spirit again. So this bad process is obviously irreversible, and the bad process was used to describe our salvation. He said, "He that is born of the what? Flesh is flesh, and he that is born of the spirit is spirit." So actually, when you see in that verse that except a man be born again, to be born again means to be born from above. Being born again, that Greek word, is not anotem, right? Again, it means from above. It's not talking, it's not emphasizing the second time as much as where you are coming from the second time. It's not that I am born once, now I will be born again. No, the real emphasis is where is that word born again is actually a very old English. It means born from above. So the main emphasis is where you are coming from this time. Amen? So that is why 1 Corinthians 15:22 said, "For as in Adam all die, and so also in Christ shall us all be made alive." So as Adam all die, talking about our humanity in Adam, about the flesh. So being born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of yours, spirit is spirit. So to be born of the spirit is to be born from above. That means you are born the spirit that Jesus gives from the position of the right hand of the Father. That's what Peter was saying in Acts. He said, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost. So Jesus was able to give men the Holy Ghost upon his what? Resurrection. Amen. And that is our salvation. So of course, we can clearly say the man without the Holy Ghost is a man that is not born again. You can see Romans chapter 8, verse 9 clearly. And if you have the concluding part says, if any man hath not the what? The Spirit of God, he is none of his. Say, I have the Spirit of God. Say, I belong to him. So, some people say, there's this common facet. How can you say the Holy Ghost is dwelling in you like this? Say, the Holy Ghost cannot dwell in anything that is not clean. Anything that is not clean, purified. I say, yes, you are correct. That is why, but the issue is, perhaps, what is your definition of to be clean? To be clean is to be sanctified. It's to be purified by the blood of Christ. It's to be purified by the Spirit of Christ. In fact, like I love to say, it's not that the Spirit comes, it's not that God will first purify you, then he will give you his Spirit. God purified you by giving you his Spirit. Hallelujah. Say, God purified me by giving me his spirit. Hebrews 10:10. God purified. Value. Hebrews 10:10. Are you there? Come on, let's be fast. It's an appetizer as usual. By the which will, what happened? Who is sanctified? We are sanctified through what? The offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Amen. So we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus once for all. So, that offering of Christ, that means death, burial, and resurrection, which was compulsory, sacrosanct, for man to receive the Spirit, which was prerequisite for man to receive the Spirit, is the same cleansing that God has done for us. So, he cleansed you in the offering of his Son. It's not, you know, the way we see, at times, even there, we have seen a prayer point that a great man of God raised, pray that God should cleanse you. Pray that God should purify you. Pray that God should wash you clean. At times you call the sinner to the front, say, please, say, Father, say, wash me clean with your blood. Wash my sins. Those are not necessary. The washing is done in the what? In the offering. Are you with me? The washing has been done in the offering. So, also, I don't also confuse this with the way they have the Holy Ghost in the Old Testament. Check chapter 15, verse 14. Of course, in the Old Testament, the Spirit comes upon them for exploits. But it never indwells them. The indwelling was impossible until redemption. Judges 14. The Pharisee is about something, and when he came to Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and the cords that were upon his hand became as flax that was burnt with fire, and his bands loose from off his band. So that was Samson, right? That was Samson. So that is what we call at times the spirit upon. Of course, let me tell you this. Most of the time, write this down. The spirit upon is a function of what the preacher wanted to do, not what God wanted to do. The spirit upon is the one we say to take hold of the power of God to do something. Because if it is God in his own, with free hand trying to intervene in this scenario, I tell you, he will not kill anybody. So what we call the spirit upon is men taking hold of the power of God to do exploit. Are you with me? See 2 Kings chapter 3 verse 15 is a function of the will of man. So, and that is the point. That why it comes and goes is because it is based on the will of man. But to us, we have the spirit within, which is based on the will of God. Amen, amen. 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 15. And now bring me a minstrel. And it came to pass when the minstrel played that the hand of the Lord came upon him. He wanted to receive direction for the kings. And perhaps maybe because he was upset, he could not connect again. He said, bring me a mistral. And as Dan was playing, the man of God was able to connect again. Amen. That is not your own style. Amen. Praise God. Say, I'm atoned with the Spirit. Say, I'm always atoned with the Spirit. 1 Samuel 10 verse 6. See Saul to 1 Samuel 10 verse 6. First Samuel 10 verse 6. And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and thou shalt be turned into another man.
Glory.
He said, the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, you will prophesy with them, and you shall be turned into another man. So the Spirit comes upon them for exploits, and looks like the Spirit leaves them once the task is done. But I'm telling you that what is actually happening is they are the one letting go of the power of the Spirit once they are done with what they want to do. That indwelling is just impossible until redemption is accomplished. So, see 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20, 21. Just read 21 for you. 2 Peter 1, 21. So this is not your own story, but see how it happened to them. For the prophecy came not in the old time by the will of man, but only men of God speak, being what? As they were moved, right? As they were beared along by the Holy Ghost. That is not your own story. That is not your own calling. You are not you. You are indwelt with the Holy Ghost. You are not just being moved. And if you ask me, so what is the essence of all those exploits they did in those days? It's simply to sustain that lineage of Christ. Why they did all they did is, that is just the best way the natural man could sustain the divine plan of God. And don't forget, that's why they even spoil it further. That's why God had to give all the prophets 400 years of silence between Malachi and Matthew before the Savior finally came. So, to tell you that the wrath of man does not what? Walk the righteousness of God. So, everything they were doing, killing this, killing that, at the end of the day, that could not even bring the Messiah. Because the special thing about Israel is to produce the Messiah for the rest of the world. So, God had to silence all prophets. That is why when John the Baptist came, he was so special. Because there had not been a prophet for 400 years. Amen, amen. Check 1 Peter 1, 11. Follow me, let me read Good News Version. So, the prophets, they prophesied what they did not enjoy. So, let me read God's Word Version, GW. So, they tried to find out what time or situation the Spirit of Christ kept referring to whenever he predicted Christ's suffering and the glory that would follow. 12. God revealed this to the prophets, that the things they had spoken were not for their own benefit, but for yours. Glory to God. What the prophet has spoken, the Holy Spirit, who was sent from heaven, has now made known to you by those who spread the good news among you. These are the things that even the angels want to look into. That's just from that translation. So, the Holy Ghost cannot dwell with them because of spiritual death. Spiritual death. That's what's the point. It's not God's. It's not like, and that thing is not God's timing. It's all man's timing. I tell you the truth, Jesus is ready to come from Genesis 3, verse 15. If man will say yes. So, the Spirit will only be given to abide permanently in man after redemption. After redemption. John 7:39. John 7:39. Jesus, let me read and CEV translation. Jesus was talking about the Holy Spirit who would be given to everyone that had faith in him. The Spirit had not yet been given to anyone since Jesus had not yet been given his full glory. But you just said right now that it is man that delayed, that it's not God. It's not a strict God's calendar. Yeah. Question is, what delayed the coming of Jesus? It's not God. It's self-righteousness of man. It's all the attempts of people to outdo God, to try to do what God says he will do. What God says that I will. That's what he told you. That is God's word in redemption. He said, I will save you. I will put enmity between the serpent and the woman. I will. So as much as you are trying to do what God said I will do, you are pushing back his plan. Amen, amen, amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 verse 1. Now see the way this man scripted it. It says, so I return. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 verse 1. The first command. Brother, are you flowing? So I returned and considered all the oppressions that were done under the sun, and behold the tears of such that were oppressed, and they had no comforter. And on the side of their oppressors there was power, but they had no comforter. There was a repetition here that, okay, there was oppression in the world and there is no comforter. Of course, Solomon speaking about the normal girl's his observation, but yet in his utterance, we could see that he is saying, man had no comforter. Even the oppressor needs a comforter. Amen? Come on, do you get me? Acts 2, 33. So he must be glorified, seated at the right hand of God before the real comforter can be made available to man. Not just, because even don't forget, unto whom was he revealed? Not unto them. Even Solomon doesn't even know what he's talking about. So see Acts 2, 33. I quoted this for you earlier. I'm going to just read this together. Sister Grace, are you there? Acts 2, 33. One, two, go. Yes. Acts 2, 33. Yes. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he had shed forth this which you now see and hear. So meaning the first day people became born again in history is after the resurrection of Jesus. So please, I beg you, I know this looks like elementary, like you can say, I know all this, I know you know it. That's why I'm teaching you, because you know it. So therefore, I remember there was, when, is it 2 years ago on Facebook, when there was a doctrinal issue, and a big man of God in Nigeria said, well, why are you getting people talking like this? Say, can't you see the people that lost their salvation in the Bible? So who are they? He mentioned Jezebel. He first started from Demas. He said, Demas. I said, yes. He said, Jezebel. Say, yeah. You guys see better. Just speak about Saul too. Saul. Say Samson. Say they lost their salvation. Abba. How can you lose what is not yet available? Amen. Praise God. So to tell you that fullness, what is called salvation, is a post-redemptive reality. Therefore, like I said yesterday, that song of David, cast me not away, is good for David, but it's not good for you. It makes sense for David, but it doesn't look good on you. Just like me, as Larry is now, she now uses green makeup. I'm sorry, green foundation. Sorry, what's that one? On top of foundation? Foundation, after foundation? Concealer.
Concealer.
Now you're talking, don't mind all these people that doesn't know what is happening. Amen. Imagine like that you now use green foundation. Doesn't look good on you. You got some believers, they will now shape the eyebrow. Don't look like what? Don't look like F. No F. ELF. All those people there, Lord of the Rings. Don't look like F. It look good on you. No, some people you just no. Go and check Eunice Joseph's WhatsApp DP. I don't know how she got that. After that, this, what are you? Sorry. Anyway, go and check what I'm saying. Some of you put makeup. Say you are fine before. You just spoil everything. Amen, amen. Some songs don't look good on the Christian. Okay. They don't look good. They don't look good. So go back to the same John 6, 37. Then to sin cast me not away is an insult of the highest, so that not only on you, also on your Savior. The prayer of David has been answered. He said, okay, David said, cast me not away, right? So what is the answer of God to David? John 6:37. Want to go? Let's read. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise what? Cast out. Hallelujah. So has God answered the prayer of David? Yeah. Don't cast me away. Okay, no problem. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. John 14:16. He has answered you already. John 14:16. Take not your Holy Spirit away from me. I'm quoting from Psalm 51. He has answered that too already. How did he answer it? I will ask the Father, and he shall give you another comforter who will stay with you forever. So we operate in the days of fulfillment. In the days of fulfillment. In the days of fulfillment. Whether carnal Christian, call him baby Christian, call it and no God, that is a factor that God will not use to that is, you know, it's just it's too late. Conduct will never determine that one. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Conduct will never determine that one. Conduct will never be a criteria to validate that one. No, can't be conduct, never. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Know ye not that you are what? That you are. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Know ye not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Amen. So he doesn't live because of sin. In fact, because of it. To those Corinthian people, see chapter 6:9. See how Paul puts it. Very, very wonderful people. Know ye not, see, are you there? 1 Corinthians 6:9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Come on, let's read 11. Yes, and such were some of you. But you have changed. What's there? He said you are washed. What's the next thing? You are sanctified. You are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus. Somebody. Why you know that they have not changed is because these are the things he is still reproving them from. He is still correcting them for. So it's not that they have changed. To tell you that Galatians 5 is a discussion about nature. He said for the fruit of the flesh is mentioned everything. That's it. They that do such things shall not inherit. You know, it's a very tricky way of communication. He first mentioned all this stuff, now said they will not inherit. Somebody should say, wait now. Why are you using inheritance for conduct? But inheritance is something that is given by lot. By, you know, so what is another meaning of lot? By those of you that you shall fight to buy your father's property. By something that is given by lawyer, help me now. Allotment, okay? So no, not based on performance. By right, is your right. So in that sense, they that commit something shall not inherit. So that takes away the conduct. That would mean all those words, they are description. They are description of people going to hell. You know how James put it? He said, if you say you have not done this and that, say, but if you only do one of, if you only break one of these plenty, you have done everything. So somebody that is going to hell because he has not believed the gospel, on his road to hell, they will call him, you are an adulterer, you are a fornicator, you are everything. Say, I have not done it. I don't know, you are it. You understand? So those names describes people who have not believed the gospel. Just like, thank you for, my brother reminded me of that part I didn't explain. I just mentioned it in the other series, what's the name again? The preacher's portfolio. Okay, I didn't explain. When Jesus was saying, when I was in prison, you didn't visit me. When I was naked, you didn't clothe me. So it looks like that was the reason why they will be cast out. Of course, no. That is a description of a man that rejects the gospel. Because to reject the gospel is to hate the preacher of the gospel, right? So that means you refuse to welcome the preacher, you refuse to receive his word. So that those words only describes the man, but the thing that is actually taking them to damnation is what? Is their unbelief. Is that clear? Is that clear? So like all those names is just is a title. I say it again, a man that only steals on his road to hell, they will call him an adulterer. That's why, no, the man going to hell, he will pay for more than the sin he committed. That's why I told the guy, I said, you think you're a bad boy? You're not a bad boy. I said, all the sins you think you have committed right now, maybe 2 days in hell is not punishment, but you'll be there eternally. So the punishment is more than the sin, the physical act of sin. Yeah, unbelief is terrible. Yeah? Anyway, do you get me, Sha? Okay, thank you. So, also, the Holy Ghost does not dwell in man because the man is holy, but a man is holy because the Spirit of God lives in him. Why we call you holy is because you have the permanent residence of the Holy Ghost. Why? Initially, he said, he didn't come based on your request. It's Jesus that said, I will pray the Father. He will send. I will pray. I will do what ought to be done. And he will send. So he will come. The Comforter will come at my own prayer. Of course, not prayer points. But it will come at my own sacrifice. Hebrews 7:25. Somebody asks, okay, what of when I sin after I'm saved? Well, yes. That's why you need to be in a church that the pastor will frown at you, scold you, bite your nose, tickle your ear, elbow you, you understand? Punch you, upper cuss, lower cuss, pa, 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 hack your soul. Because God, and that correction will make you better, because God will not do it. Amen. We are doing what God will not do. Selah. God will not correct this. You're going to keep telling her every day. Hey, yeah. The directions of God. Yes. Don't mind your pastor, but you but go tomorrow. But don't mind him. Because God keeps comforting you. So he says you pray again, David. Don't worry. Just try. Eh? Just try. Don't worry. Everyone is coming soon. Don't say like that. They just keep comforting. Amen. That's why the Spirit has his job. Your pastor has his job. Amen. Everybody's job is in parallel lines. Hope the Holy Ghost has not heard what I said. Hebrews 7:24-25. I'm simply saying the pastor is only a man that can make you better in conduct. Not God though. Not the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Ghost is there so that you don't go to hell. I'm not saying he doesn't convince you. He convinces. But you know a lot of people that haven't even known how to reprogram the Holy Ghost. Because you just say, don't worry, I agree. Let's go. Because I agree. Amen. When you see, have you seen a believer hugging with God before? You know, he knew what he was about to do is wrong. He said, but I know, I know I'm in your will. Like, when you see that the way people argue with their pastor, you know that God. They will just stand before God and say, God, see, don't worry, I'll still serve you. But just let me marry this man. He's not born again like that. God, see, this man. They know. They will just be in self-meditation. Oh, God. When I see somebody was tabling down reasons why he cannot come to prayer meeting. 5 minutes, 10 minutes. I said, you should have. You 6 minutes already to pray. 10 minutes, you are still trying to tell me how strict your schedule is, sir. You don't understand, sir. See, from this to this, from this to this. I said, okay. I understand. I said, Pastor, no, you have too much. You don't get it yet. Amen. Hebrews 7, come on. Say, salvation is not dependent on spiritual growth. Say, but spiritual growth is only possible upon salvation. You understand? You can't grow up an unbeliever. You won't grow. You will die. You can't teach unbeliever doctrine. You should not gather unbelievers on mountain. Elijah. Hebrews 7, let me read the Amplified version for you, this one. 24:25, just paraphrase. Say, but He holds his priesthood unchangeably because he lives on forever. 25, therefore, is able to save to the uttermost completely, perfectly, finally, and for all time and eternity, those who come to God through him, since he's always living to make petition and intercede with him and intervene for them. Hallelujah. Very clear stone. He says he's able to save to the uttermost completely, perfectly, finally, for all time and eternity. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Very clear, stunt, uncareful, just very direct speech. That is not a careful speech. Direct. Just take your salvation and go. Amen? So, we don't use salvation to bait believers to grow up spiritually. We don't use salvation to trick you to serve God. Say, sir, you didn't come to church yesterday. Your salvation is gone. It's gone, though. No. We don't do that. We can punch ourselves for that, but don't touch that salvation. Okay? Because your license to correct a believer is because he's even saved. Once he has lost his salvation, I say in the series, I say once a man loses his salvation, even God cannot correct him again. Why should you correct somebody you have rejected? You get what I'm saying? I have sent out of my house. I should not go again on the street pushing you, correcting you with K. You can only be corrected when you are in the house. Praise God. Hallelujah. Save the Father, he corrects the Son whom he has received. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Say, I've been received. Peace, that made you happy. He said, yeah, finally. Ephesians 4:30. Somebody said, but believers grieve the Spirit. Who does not grieve the Spirit? Everybody should have grieved the Spirit one time or the other before. And let me just show you this. What grieves the Spirit is unforgiveness. It's unforgiveness. And please, I will still go into this. Know that there are some parables of Jesus. You know, in the preacher's portfolio, we are trying to see why Jesus said a lot of things that he said. You know, there is this part of the gospel that is saying, if you don't forgive your neighbor, God will not forgive you. That's serious. But the best way we can interpret that is this place. Ephesians 4:30. When you don't forgive your neighbor, it's that you are grieving God. Not that he won't forgive you. Abba. It's too late for him not to forgive you. It's you are grieving the reason why you are sealed. Ephesians 4:30-32. Please, let's take this together. I want to go help me. Yes. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are what? Sealed. Wow. Until the day of So this is a scripture to even tell a believer to he can lose his spirit. Don't grieve him. Like, don't you understand? He told you before he finished that is by the same spirit that you are sealed. So don't grieve me, don't sadden me. He's talking about believers' conduct. See the next verse. Let all what? Bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving what? One another, even as God for Christ's sake has what? Forgiven you. So if you now mix this with Jesus' teaching of forgiveness, what will your unforgiveness do to God? Will it cause him not to forgive you, or you will just grieve him? You will grieve him. You get what I'm saying? That was what Jesus was presenting to them. When he said, when we don't forgive your brother, God will not. This is a clearer picture. Praise God. Of course, some of those things, they are even language issues, which. But I have not been able to authenticate all those old manuscripts. Ephesians 1:13. So unforgiveness is grieving the spirit. No, imagine you forgive you all and you could not forgive your neighbor. That is you grieving the spirit. But don't forget, it says, as God has forgiven you, so you should just forgive others. Simple. Ephesians 1:13. In whom you also trusted after you have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom after that you believe, what happened to you? You are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Amen. So he is a permanent resident in you. 2 Corinthians 1:22. That should be the last scripture. Come on. Some people say, well, your relationship that a believer cannot go out of, is it fellowship? But no, he can. You cannot go out of sonship. You can get out of fellowship. You just love grammar. Who invented all those grammar for you? Fellowship and sonship. God said he's collaborating with you forever. You are saying fellowship, sonship. Even at times you offend your wife, she remains there too. Does that mean fellowship or sonship? 2 Corinthians 1:22. Let me read the amplified version of this one for you. So don't subscribe to all those. It was actually their weapon to say that it's actually that 1 John 1. They say that, well, at times you can leave fellowship. Please, I think you still have that idea. See how she's looking at me. The thing is, so that war with God, is it two-sided or one-sided? Amen. So it's not, so when we talk about a breakage in fellowship, that it should be two-sided now. So your own is one-sided. And it's because of the wrong teaching you have been listening to. Amen. When you sin, you run to God, not away from Him. I didn't say you run to Him to confess. But you run to Him more to make you better. 2 Corinthians 1:22. Lastly, let me read it amplified. He has also appropriated and acknowledged us as His by putting His seal upon you and giving us His Holy Spirit in our hearts as the security deposit and guarantee of the fulfillment of His promise. Hallelujah. Praise God. Say the Spirit is the proof that it belongs to God forever. Say blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Glorious inheritance. The Holy Ghost is in me. Now and forever. Thank you. Glory to God. Glory to God. Imagine, seeing us.